whatever it is he is going to be doing, I'm sure. And also, this year we will hear the third Idols album. And I'll certainly be very excited to hear that, because especially considering that we've heard that the album will include production from the one and only Kenny Beats, which is, that's really strange. That's not a combination that I would have dreamt up myself, but of course, I feel that we're in a place now where hip-hop artists and people from the world of rock music are combining more and more than ever, and I think this is just further evidence of that. I mean, they've already, Idols made music and collaborated with Slow Tie before, so I guess this is like just the next logical step in that progression, and I'm really excited to hear whatever it is that they're going to do. All right, well, it's 11. I'll be here until noon. I'm Adam. In a moment, we'll have Bridget and Seth here with us. And in the meantime, I'm going to start this new hour by playing a song from Miss Anthropocene, the new Grimes album. And I think I will play 4 a.m. in just a moment. Yep, 4 a.m. Let's hear it.
Thank you. guys record you doing that.
Yeah.
All right, we just started this hour in a really nice way. We played 4 a.m. from the new Grimes album, then we heard Comme des Garçons, Like the Boys, the new single from Rina Sawayama off her upcoming album, self-titled album, actually. And then we heard Bird Flu by M.I.A. And I don't think ever in my life will I get over how good Kala by M.I.A. is. The mixture of pop music and world music and electronic music and just other general craziness on that album is just absolutely amazing. And if you don't think that Paper Planes is one of the best songs of the 2000s, then I just don't have any respect for you. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can do for you.
Yeah, you're not going to hear any M.I.A. slander from me, I think.
Look at this. And we have a new guest in the radio, in the station. And we need to... Ooh, how do I switch the thing that I get the four mic setup? Because mic 3 is not even on here right now.
Is mic 2?
Yes. No, it's just a 1 and 4 on here right now.
Hey, guys.
Do a little mic share for a second. Yeah, we'll fix this in the meantime. But yeah, how are you doing today, Bridget?
Oh, I'm doing just wonderfully. I just took a really nice little duty in the bathroom.
Okay, take the microphone down.
Wait, can I tell a story though?
No.
Okay, so this morning I woke up and I had this weird shimmery line in my vision, and I was just Googling it, and it turns out I have an ocular migraine that comes from.
I get ocular migraines all the time from looking at computer screens too much.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you get like weird lines in your vision, and you get awful headaches.
I haven't gotten a headache, and it seems kind of minor. But
yeah, that happens to me a lot. Like if you just spend a whole day looking at a computer or a TV, that usually happens to me. I get an ocular migraine.
Yeah, little extra PSA. Watch out for those guys.
This has been a public service announcement from WMFO.
I thought I was having like a stroke or something. Yeah. I was very concerned.
Other PSA: make sure everyone's washing their hands on a regular basis these days. You know, just in the interest of safety and everything. You know, just wash your hands. Sounds good to me. Well, I need to come up with some other things to play here, because, you know, we're freeform. We show up with no playlist, no plan, usually. So, why don't you two entertain the audience for a moment, or maybe just Seth, because we saw what happens when Bridget gets on the microphone.
Well, I was just going to say before Bridget entered about the M.I.A. album.
Yeah, speak on them.
Or just M.I.A. in general. I find her music consistently... which I know is not a popular opinion, but I find her...
No, I pretty much agree. I didn't like her last album that much, but I like pretty much everything else she's done.
I've enjoyed all of her albums. I think they're all very, you know, forward-thinking, and
Definitely. She
constantly... I think she's one of the few artists out there that consistently remains ahead of the game, both...
Yeah, and it's interesting to me how... Like, you don't hear her get credit for this, but, like, a lot of, like, what people like Death Grips would go on to do in, like, the mid-2010s actually, like, shows up before on some of M.I.A.'s records, especially her album Maya from 2011-2012. Like, it really sounds like a Death Grips album before Death Grips were doing it, and
Sophie,
I think that's pretty cool.
So,
that kind of, like, whole PC music camp style of production was presaged by what M.I.A. was doing. So, yep, shout out M.I.A., great artist. And, let's get the music going again with a song from Santa Gold.
Run.
yet?
Yep, you got a mic. Are you on three or four?
I'm on three.
All right, now Bridget's mic'd up herself. We're all fixed up, and we just heard song from Sanigold. That was Lights Out, of course, from her debut self-titled album. Speaking of artists that don't get enough respect, Sanigold. I love Sanigold. So there you go. We're here in the studio. We are subbing for the Road Trip Hour, Jack, and his Road Trip Hour, usually here 11 to noon on Fridays, but didn't even show up today. Didn't even have the gumption to show up.
Come on,
so
Jack.
I'm here. Come on, Jack. Have some respect for yourself and your listeners, honestly. People at this radio station really have no respect. The amount of people that give up their show every week for me to sub, it's ridiculous. Clearly, you just don't care.
And then you got to listen to Adam blabber on even longer. I'm going to talk for a while. I got something to say here.
Oh, yeah, you got something to say?
I got something to say.
Well,
so I was hanging out. Of course. I was hanging out with Seth last night, and we were having this wonderful conversation with Asya. Shout out, Asya. And we were talking about art. And now I have a very apparently stupid position on this, but I'm going to throw it on air anyway. I think that some of the best art comes from artists who aren't trained whatsoever.
Hot take.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Yeah.
This is a real hot take. Terry, if Terry's listening, I doubt he likes this one.
So my position on this was, I think a lot of people have a sort of a negative connotation with, like, I think there's like an inherent, people believe that there's an inherent, like, positive thing for making art that, like, comes to you totally naturally, and that people think that, like, if you go to art school, that somehow your art is less authentic and less, like, impressive than if you don't go to art school and make the same art, which I suppose could be, you know, I understand that position, but I think it's a bit naive to believe that, like, artists now, especially in the last 100 years, have not been influenced by other artists. Like, if you name a single artist, essentially, from the last 100 to 200 years, they have either, most likely, if they're famous, they've probably gone to art school, they've probably studied under an artist, or they were deeply, deeply influenced by other artists. So art is...
That's natural.
Yeah, I think there's a big difference between...
Well, what are you trying to say about that? Is that good or bad?
It's not good nor bad.
It's just the
truth.
Yeah.
But I think there's a big difference between being influenced by other artists and going to art school and learning, like... I mean, art school certainly has changed to become more about, like, individuality, but at one point it was very much, like, you learn very rigid techniques, and there's, like, one acceptable style of painting, which is, like, portrait painting.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, some of that still exists in the world. And, you know, like, I talked about the Beat Generation, who mostly dropped out of college to be writers, and they...
Yeah, look, now we have to read their BS novels now. You're telling me I have to read On the
God.
Road, that novel is trash.
You're trash.
Okay,
you're trash, well, Adam. And they just believed in, like, wild, self-believing individuality, right?
Right, yeah.
They would just do whatever they could to like, let the muse sing in them. They'd lock themselves in a room. They'd write for days on end without, you know, enough food or water. You know, when Kerouac wrote On the Road, he lost like 10 pounds because he wasn't eating. He just wrote the thing straight.
Yeah, man was, and this is not me condoning this, but man was driving across the country taking like 30 tabs of acid. Like he was really going through it at that point, you know.
He
got a roll of, like, a huge roll of butcher paper. And just wrote it on that.
He did. He made a 12-foot manuscript that he gave to his editor.
But
that's certainly something you wouldn't learn in school.
I agree with your point to a certain extent. But there's a difference between, like, being untrained, like, at school, and just being, like, amateurish and bad at what you do.
Yeah, certainly.
And, like, I think if you just say that, like just universally, like, untrained art is better, then pretty soon you're going to have some real... bad art kicking around. But
I agree. There are
some people that, like, don't, like, for example, the filmmaker Agnès Varda. She was a woman from the 1960s in France, and at that point they didn't let women into film schools in France. And she basically made much better films than a lot of her male contemporaries then. I mean, she made some, like, of the absolute classics of, like, the 1960s and 1970s, but, like, while she was untrained, she still, like, learn, clearly, like, learned a lot from seeing movies and, like, experiencing other films. So, like, it wasn't that she was totally untrained, but on the same time, if she had been able to go to film school, I wonder if she had been, would have been so inclined to make the things that she did. So, it's interesting.
I think there is, maybe, like, a, I mean, we've talked about this before, Seth, because you're very interested in art, but you don't go to art school. Like, there's, to some extent, it's not necessary to being an artist, and I think that there's a lot to be said about the art that comes from people who didn't go to, like, have or didn't have formal education.
I would agree. Because formal training also equals a certain kind of privilege.
Yeah.
I think that there's also, but I think separately there's sort of this, like, romanticization of, like, just doing, like, sort of like what that writer did, where, like,
Kerouac.
There's, like, a, I feel as though there's sometimes, like, a overemphasis on, like, putting yourself through, like, really big hardships to create amazing art.
That's definitely true.
It's
also,
it's not necessary to do so, one. And two, I think
that's a good point.
Specifically with, like, visual art, mainly paintings. Like, if you look at any of the great painters of, like I said, like, the last 100 years, they have all either been to art school or studied under another famous artist. Like Picasso, who is known for, like, say what you will about him, I have my own personal feelings, but I think it's somewhat undeniable that he pushed the art world dramatically forward.
Certainly.
And he studied under Seurat for many years, who had a wildly different and very, not very traditional, but far more traditional painting style. And so I think it's, it somewhat frustrates me when I think people have this sort of view that, like, if you live in, like, this, like, terrible location and you, like, do a bunch of drugs or, like, starve yourself or do some, like, body
dramatic
harm, then somehow that will equate to better art than someone who goes to art school, who studies, and then creates.
Or just who creates art not out of trauma anyway. It doesn't matter about the training. But I see your point.
I see your point. I don't think any of it is better art. I just think there's value in it that isn't always properly appreciated.
But it's more impressive when artists go through formal training, especially rigid ones. And then
I don't necessarily agree.
I think it's true.
A case by case basis.
But I think it's more impressive when they do that and still are able to establish, like, a new way of thinking and a new creative.
But I think
method.
It's easier to create a new way of thinking when you see, like, when you understand the current way of thinking. Like, then you know exactly what to rebel against. Whereas if you don't have that formal background and you literally just, like, do your own thing, you're just, like, you're flying on your own wings. You know what I mean? That's not a thing people say, but you get the general sentiment.
Coming up with new sayings every day now.
Every single day. I'll also say that, like, in terms of the beat authors, like, they weren't doing any of that to punish themselves. They were doing it because they believed in their writing, or because, like, they went on the road because they thought it would be fun and, like, they would be free.
Even the doing drugs, like, it wasn't like a I'm gonna put myself through trauma thing. It was like, oh, I'm gonna see, like, what all I can experience in the world.
Exactly. You know? They were looking for, like, metaphysical experiences wherever they went. Certainly. And, you know, that there's things to be said about that, but they weren't, you know, like, I'm gonna, like, do something horrific just so I can write a book about it. You know what I mean? Like, they certainly did their experiences for their writing, but they didn't do, like, bad things to themselves. They did things that they thought would be, like, good experiences for them.
Great art to me always emerges when the artist finds a way to uniquely communicate their worldview. And whether you have training or not, you're at some point going to have to figure out a way of describing if you're a writer or visualizing or making sense of the world that's different from what other people have done before. And that's when the good art emerges. And a little segue here. I've just opened my phone to an article. The Wu-Tang Clan have just announced that they're going to release an album of lullabies.
Oh my gosh.
Wu-Tang Clan songs for your baby. So even, they used to say Wu-Tang for the kids, now it's Wu-Tang for the babies too. So shout out to the Wu-Tang Clan.
Big
and
shout out.
Wu-Tang lullabies coming soon.
Big shout out to Asya.
Oh, Asya,
for being a part of this the original conversation between me and Seth last night.
Shout out Asya. What's Asya's last name?
Starts with an I don't think I can say it, but starts with an M.
Oh boy. All right, sorry Asya.
Sorry Asya.
really played ourselves there.
Well, you said it, boy.
Okay.
Oh, no. Okay, I'm sorry. That.
Unrelated.
Irrelevant.
Seth, why don't you, or one of you two, why don't you read off a little PSA before this next song?
All right.
Not that one.
Yeah. We don't support that.
All right. So, here at WMFO, beyond simply providing you with enlightening conversation.
This man never just reads the PSA. He's gotta tell his life story before.
Hand it over to me. Hand it over to me.
You read the last one.
Yeah, I didn't get to read one yet. Bridget, I will read this one, though.
You have a go with that one.
All right, boys. Right now, we got some numbers to think about.
There you go.
Let's give some thought to the worldwide prison populations.
Let's do it.
The United States has the world's largest documented prison population, both in absolute and proportional terms. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, more than 2.2 million prisoners are behind bars in the United States. Wow, Jesus. How old is this, too? That must be more by now. Anyway, 2.2, a rate of 730 per 100,000 people. China, which is four times more populous than the United States, is a distant second, with 1.51 million people in prison at a rate of 117 per 100,000, while Russia has the second highest rate, 606 per 100,000, for a total of 865,000 prisoners. Numbers to think about, a message in the public interest from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. And if you give me a second, I'm going to look up the actual U.S. prison population.
It's 2.3 as of 2016.
It's 2.3 as of 2016 at a rate of 698 people per 100,000. It peaked in 2008.
Yikes. Alright, let's continue with the music and then perhaps we'll come back and discuss this and some other things. We'll be right back. Okay.
Just so good.
Yeah, we just listened to the cover of Neil Young's Only Love Can Break Your Heart by Saint Etienne. And before that, we listened to Karen Meets You're an Ugly Person. That one's for you, Seth. Now we're back on air. Here we are again. What should we discuss now? Yeah, have another little debate on here, but what to debate? That is the question. Who knows? Well, we certainly don't have to, also.
I'd like to.
What's on your phone, Seth?
Yeah, what's so interesting that you're on your phone, buddy?
What's so interesting you can't look at us when you're
on... Yeah, come on, disconnect
on
to
air
reconnect,
the radio.
Bud.
Yeah. Disconnect to the radio.
Disconnect to the radio, bro.
I'm just reading a tweet about... Bernie or bust.
Ugh, yeah.
We can comment on.
Well, I'll say...
Without endorsing anyone.
Without endorsing anyone. I think that's... Oh, can I curse?
No.
I think that's incredibly stupid. We were talking about how it shows a lot of privilege because if you live somewhere like the Commonwealth where, you know, it's a very blue state and there are a lot of civil rights and civil liberties protected by the state, then you'll be fine. But if you live in, you know, Alabama, where all liberties and rights are under attack, you know, this election is going to affect you very heavily. And, you know, it makes me think of whatever the hell abortion thing is happening right now, which I don't follow because I don't support women's rights, but...
Jesus. Live on air with Bridget Dent. Bridget, you should get a show.
Anyway, I'm just saying.
You should get a show where you promote your sexist and anti-Semitic views.
It should be called Ben Shapiro Here at Tufts. There's actually a Ben Shapiro. I'll have him on.
Shout out the actual Ben Shapiro that actually goes to Tufts University.
Who is a Zionist. Anyway, we love him.
We're really testing the boundaries of the FCC right now.
What else are we gonna do?
I guess not. I did used to call myself Most Wanted DJ last semester because I screwed up the rules so much.
Anyway,
you were the only one to do that, Adam. I'll tell you that much.
Certainly.
Anyway, I was saying the abortion, whatever. You know, if we like, you know, the president isn't necessarily going to change all that much per se, because, you know, it's something that the courts are going to handle first. But, you know, we have a much greater shot at getting free and equal access to abortions if we have a different president.
Yeah, I think the notion that simply because your candidate did not win the primary, that you should no longer support the major candidate is a harmful idea.
Very, very
I understand
much so.
The logic that, like, you, if you are to a certain radical, like, if you are after a certain point, if you are so far to either the left or the right that, like, a centrist Democrat and a centrist Republican to you are part of the same party. And I think there is some legitimacy to critiquing and criticizing the way that, like, the mainstream American politics hasn't been able to really capture or represent the true needs of the American people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
However, I think it's shameful to me to watch, like, the events of 2016 sort of repeat themselves without anyone from any section of, I think, the Democratic Party learning anything. I think one thing like we can take from the Republican Party is how quickly they align themselves with their leaders.
Yeah.
And how, like,
that's certainly true.
Those bitches snap into line.
Oh, Bridget.
Sorry.
Anyway.
That was some audio snippet. I don't know where it came from.
That was a ghost.
Ghost in the anyway. Studio.
Yeah.
Sounds just
Eden
like
ghost
me.
Ghost has invaded Curtis.
I think, like, participating in electoral politics is certainly, I think, a sacrifice some people have to make. But I think, like, arguing that someone like Biden would be policy-wise the same as someone like Donald Trump, I think, is not
blind.
Only incorrect, but also, as Bridget said, indicates, like, a level of privilege because...
Yeah.
Like, individuals who advocate that aren't the ones that are going to be affected by, deregulating, labor rights
mm-hmm.
and though, like, deregulating protections on, like, transgender individuals or the woman's right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, like, right, and beyond that, looking at things like the federal courts, like the amount of that have been nominated that will sit on federal courts for the next 50-some years.
Trump's been going balls to the walls on that one.
So
no curse words in that one.
Yeah, you
anyway,
sorry.
I think it's really important to acknowledge that, like, having the choice whether to support someone or not is in and of itself a privilege. Not simply, like, fundamentally, there are a lot of people in this country who cannot vote.
Mm-hmm.
Incarcerated people,
undocumented people,
immigrants, people who are severely disabled,
people who, you know, like, face voter suppression efforts.
Right. So voting is, at this point, a privilege more than it is a right. But even further, to, like, actively choose not to support someone because you don't fully agree with their policies and you don't want to choose the lesser of the two evils is, like, because the lesser, like, the worser of the both evils will not harm you in the way that they would someone else.
Yeah. I have another point on this. I think that, you know, if you truly believe in these radical and revolutionary policies, you know, who is president certainly matters, and you don't have to give up on your work just because we elect, like, a moderate. You know, like, you can do so much within your own local government, state government. If you, you know, really care about these things, there are so many other avenues of change that, like, it shouldn't just be like, oh, my candidate in the presidential election is gone, so I'm going to give up entirely on politics and, like, say no to electoral politics. There are so many, like, small races everywhere that we are that we can all pitch in on, that we can all use to make a difference in, you know, like, the local and, like, state government and even in Congress, because
I mean no matter what happens, it's not gonna work that well if we don't flip the Senate or at least get some seats back.
Exactly. If we don't have, you know, power in the legislatures across the country, then having a president in office isn't gonna do anything. And I think that, like, that's something that, you know, goes by the wayside all the time, and we're all so fixated on the primary right now, but you know, for people who are losing hope, they need to, like, find it within themselves to realize that that's not the most, nowhere near the most important thing in politics.
Yeah.
And it's not the end game.
All right. Well, we'll get back to the music now. I know that that chat might have depressed you, but don't worry.
Hey, I think mine was hopeful. There's so much anybody can do.
Well, you know, it's okay to cry.
Scares you. All of the big occasions you might have missed. No, I accept you. And I don't even need to know your reasons. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. I think you sometimes forget I would know you best. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. Inside is your best side. wish I could have said this. It's okay to cry.
I'm high, was down a teardrop in your eye. I never thought I'd see you cry. Just know whatever hurts, it's all mine. It's okay to cry, it's okay to cry. I'm high, see the truth through all the lies. And even after all this time, just know you've got nothing to hide. It's okay to cry, it's okay to cry. There's a world inside you. I wanna know what it feels like. I wanna go there with you. Could we walk up dark place? Maybe we shine some light there. It won't be so hard. I wanna know this part of you.
My eye, was that a teardrop in your eye? I never thought I'd see you cry. Just know whatever hurts, it's all mine. It's okay to cry, it's okay to cry. I can see the truth through all the lies. Even after all this time, whatever it is, just know it's alright. It's okay to cry, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry, it's okay to cry. It's okay to cry, it's okay to cry.
And that pretty much concludes the music for this 2-hour subbing marathon on 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. I am Adam. I have with me in the studio Seth and Bridget.
What's up, guys?
Seth's show, Voices from Above, you can hear Tuesday mornings at 11 a.m. to noon. My show, you can hear Monday nights / Tuesday mornings from 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. That's Pretzelogic, of course.
That's my favorite time of the week, too.
Favorite time? I know, everyone's up then, so, you know, gotta hear it. And, yeah, this has been a good hour. We started the first hour, we heard some classics. This hour is pretty much all new music, and all women this hour, too. We heard music from U.S. Girls, from Sophie, from Santigold, from MIA, from Grimes, and Rina Sawayama, among others. And Bridget's waving her phone at me. She wants to shout out something. So, Bridget, go ahead.
I do. I actually have two shout-outs. I'm going to start with the serious one first. So, as some of you kids may know out there, if you know me, I know I have a big presence on campus. Seth Gordon and myself are part of the Tufts Labor Coalition, which works to promote solidarity with workers on campus. And we just recently rebooted our Twitter. Oh, my God. I know. All the kids are obsessed with Twitter.
TLC Twitter.
It's at Tufts Labor. That's at Tufts, T-U-F-T. No, I'm kidding. It's at Tufts Labor. And you all should go follow. Check it out. We tweet lots of cute, cheeky little things. The second shout out I have is for Daria, who I think is listening right now.
Daria Gitterfaroos is listening right now?
Right now. She just got eyebrows tweezed yesterday, and man, she's killing the game.
Eyebrows tweezed, listen to the radio. That's the life.
It certainly is. I'm quite jealous.
The cosmopolitan lifestyle. See, let me throw out a couple more shout outs. Well, Seth, you got anyone to shout out before the end of the hour?
Well, as we're speaking of Tufts Labor, I'd like to shout out two labor groups that I think need some recognition and solidarity. Mm-hmm. So, one, the Harvard grad students who have been on strike for, I'm not sure how long at this point.
Forever.
For quite some time. I think this is unofficial, of course, but I think they're likely to go back on strike as Harvard is violating U.S. labor laws with knowingly, because they know that our current administration will not prosecute them for it, and insisting on a right to work legislation, which is of course illegal under Massachusetts labor laws. So solidarity with those individuals. And another grad union, was it USC?
I believe it's
University of, California. I believe it was 50 or so grad students who were on strike for better pay were recently terminated.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still on strike, so hopefully that ends well and we stand in solidarity with all those workers who are, you know, constantly trying to fight for better wages and better working conditions.
All right.
It was UC Santa Cruz.
UC Santa Cruz. Shout out Terry and Emma. That's where.
Aww.
I think Terry's mom actually does some work at UCSC.
Wow.
Interesting.
They're also just wonderful people.
Keep them entertained.
All right.
You guys can go ahead and log in. We're done with music. We're just talking now. So
yeah. So I guess we'll just keep going until we hear some lovely more music. Do you have anyone else to shout out?
Yeah. I'd like to seriously shout out Terry and Emma. Emma, super sweet, always.
Daria doesn't get a serious shout out. What? A joking shout out.
Well, it's fine. Emma always comes to the res to hang out. It's always a good time. I feel very artsy listening to cool music. Shout out to Terry for the wonderful conversations that we always have. I always feel like,